High performance means something different to every single person. I personally believe everybody is a high performer. High performance to me is, what are you doing in your every single day life to live the most optimal that you can live?
What does it take to build a brand?
Every single individual and every single person is a brand.
How do you see the space evolving now as a creator?
So there's no right time. So the insight was me of just practicing and failing and learning and trying. But I listen to see how I can do things a little better, how I can always ante up in life. You gotta just look at it that way.
What does it mean to lead a high performance lifestyle? What does it take to build a brand? Today we're gonna find out. I'm hyped to welcome, in my opinion, the original fitness influencer and the founder of HPLT Ventures, a marketer, a brand builder, and overall just awesome dude, Mr. Brian Mazza. How are you today, sir?
What's up, brother? Thank you. This is our first podcast in the performance club, so it's kind of neat.
Oh, wow, man. That actually is really exciting to me because we were chatting a bit before, and I let you know that I have personally followed your content since at least 2017. And as someone who's coming up, and the creator space was kind of new. You were at the cusp of the actual industry. And I remember, I think the first piece of content I ever saw of yours was doing pull-ups in tights in a gym with no shirt on. And that wasn't really received well, I feel like. I mean, I took to it, but I don't know how the rest of the community took to it.
That's really funny because nobody understood what I was doing at that moment, right? I was probably the first one to wear just tights in New York during the fitness boutique boom, right? That Renaissance time of when every gym was rocking and so many brands and so many different workouts were really crazy in New York City and everyone was busy. I just felt really comfortable in tights. I was wearing Nike at the time, like consistently. And I don't know, I just felt secure in them and didn't really care. I was judged a little bit, but I was also training at one of the GOAT gyms of all time, Tone House. So, you know, it was a really performance-based gym, very high-energy, athletic. And if you know, you want to be in compression pants when you're training to really optimize your performance. That's how I felt. So, yes, I got made fun of a lot for wearing them, but I think it worked out okay.
We're going to talk about your mindset and how you deal with the haters, if you will. But I think an optimal place to start would be, how do you define high performance?
I love this question because, you know, my brand is called High Performance Lifestyle Training, right? High performance means something different to every single person. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to have abs or be jacked or be super fit in that sense, right? I personally believe everybody is a high performer in this world. The body is a high performing machine. That's the gift that we have being human. But what happens when you're born until whatever age you are now, say at 39, what I am, that's out of certain people's control, right? Maybe the environment you're put in, your situation at home with your parents growing up, trauma, all of that. And that either can make you perform at an elite level throughout your whole life or take you back to training at something or living at a level that is not optimal. So high performance to me is, what are you doing in your every single day life to live the most optimal that you can live? And what are those traits? What are those characteristics that you have? What are those the ins and outs of your life? How are you doing it? So that, for me, is that that's a high performer. If you're able to achieve all of your goals, be a happy human being, be a healthy human being, and live your best life, to me, that's high performance.
Unique to hear you talk about high performance in the lens that you do, because you have this background of hospitality. And I'm curious how that overlaps with what you've built now in HPLT Ventures.
Again, another awesome question that I love talking about, because I think high performance and hospitality, or just fitness and hospitality, are so similar. Yes, we have a high performance club here, right? But I'm still providing our members and providing people an experience. It's the same thing going to a restaurant, right? You walk in, the first person you're going to greet is the hostess or maitre d' or host. And they're going to either dictate your flow for the rest of the night. If they're going to greet you with positive energy, if they're going to put you in an area where they feel like you can thrive when you're sitting down or you're around the right people. I mean, there's a whole science to putting people in certain areas in the restaurant or in the club so people feed off each other with energy. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing when people walk into my club. I want them to be greeted a certain way. I want them to be around certain members. That's why in our facility here, I'll give you a perfect example. I got a review from someone the other day, and they called me. He's like, hey, I just want to tell you, I've never been greeted like that when I walked into a club before. And I was like, wow, I'm so happy my staff is doing that. And he's like, no, dude, it wasn't your staff. It was the members inside of the club.
Wow.
The members inside of the club came up to me and said, hey, you're new. We haven't seen you. Do you need anything? Do you want a water? Do you want a towel? Do you want to jump into a workout? So that is what I've created here. And that's what high performance lifestyle training is. It's that community of accepting people in, making them feel good, showing them that we all are the same, but we just have one common goal, and that's just to get better. So you either get on the train or not. And they do it in a really hospitable way.
So some of the questions that we started with, I've heard you talk about before, but I felt it's important for the audience to get an idea about who you are. When it comes to brand building, you have this wild trail of evidence of different brands that you've worked with. 10,000 and the like. I could go down the list.
Sure.
And I think that would kind of take away from the HPLT element that I want to talk about here. But in your mind, from a framework perspective, what does it take to build a brand?
Well, every single individual and every single person is a brand. And I really try to emphasize that when I speak to people or I speak to my staff or speak to anyone who reaches out. Like when you walk down the street, you're your own brand, right? So it's what you're putting out into the universe, your energy, how you dress, how you look, how you represent yourself, how you speak. That is representing who you are, your last name on the back, right? So a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people go out through their day not acting optimal in every sense. I get more business and more opportunities from going to a coffee shop or going to a restaurant or running into people on the street because I'm letting them know that, hey, this is my brand. This is what I stand for. And they get attracted to that because it's the truth. If you are fit and you look a certain way and act a certain way, people are going to gravitate towards you. People are going to treat you differently. People are going to ask you questions. And then you can dictate where that conversation goes. You can dictate how you want your story to be told, right? And I always want to be in control of that at all times. Also, a lot of people don't fully understand the amount of effort that goes into building a personal brand. Now, I did it backwards. I built a mega big sports bar brand, but I knew that that wasn't going to be the be-all or end-all of my life. So at that time, I wanted to also be represented as someone who was super fit, who was a fit restaurateur or entrepreneur in that space too. So if I ever needed to pivot, I could pivot in a second, which I had to do at one point, and I didn't skip a beat. I didn't even skip like an hour, maybe not even a second. It was just like boom, boom, and I was on my way still doing my thing. So I don't think people fully understand the amount of hours that go into it, the amount of internal thoughts that you have, the whiteboard sessions by yourself, the whiteboard sessions or the conversations you have with your partner or I have with my wife where she doesn't fully understand what I'm saying or things I want to do and how I want to act. People don't get it because the space is really new and personal brand building. And I think sometimes people get caught up in it too much where you are a personal brand, but you might not be a successful personal brand. Mm. And I say that as nicely as possible because it's very difficult to do what I've been doing for so long. It's a grind. Another thing we always talk about, my wife's on the Today Show. She's out 4:30, 5 in the morning most days. And people are like, does she like that? And I'm like, if she didn't like that, it would be probably the worst job in the world. But it fires her up and she loves to do it. So like if you don't like the grind of always posting, I always have to have my shirt off and be fit. I always have to find the new brands that are in the forefront and help accelerate and incubate them. There's so much effort that goes into it. If you don't fully like that or want to do it, it's going to be a miserable job.
So let's zoom in on that for a second. You touched on a few different things over there at a high level in terms of the work ethic, the energy, the mindset that goes into it. It's a lot of hours. From an actual strategic perspective, in your mind, having built so many different brands, could you maybe outline three or four things that could help someone who's trying to either get started or someone who's established elevate their brand that could help them take the next level?
Yeah, awesome question. So I always looked at it like, I might not always also have this body forever, right? I need to always work at it. I stopped drinking, right? So that was one of the first things I had to do. I said, I'm going to stop drinking because I hated the way it made me feel. And once I started doing that, everything else around me got better. So I think that's a really important thing for people, right? Like diet and drinking and partying and really focusing on what you want to do. But I looked at it this way, like when I still had my restaurants and I was building my personal brand and still working with other brands, I said, okay, if I can work with a certain, say, let's just say a protein brand, or I'll say American Express, right? I worked with American Express on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I can market, I think it was like their platinum card, right? I had to do some posts for them. And I was like, wow, I don't want this just to end on my posts just after my contract is up. So I said to the person I was working with, I think it was like this woman, Amanda, said, hey, Amanda, you know, I own like 8 restaurants, 4 in New York, 2 in New Jersey, you know, Nashville, Kansas City. If you guys ever have to do a holiday party or an event, like, let me know. I can host it for you. Next thing you know, we do the holiday party. It's like a $75,000 party, right? So it's like, I always wanted to have different tentacles out there. So why I really created HPLT is on this flywheel. And a lot of people don't fully understand what HPLT is or what I do. And I just shot a content piece on this. This is a really good question. So high performance lifestyle training is like the anchor, right? That's the ship. Then we have everything around it that's like feeding the ship, right? So we have HPL Ventures. So if I want to work with a brand and they need capital, I can go raise capital for them because I have my partner, Todd Cuccia, who's in that space. We go out to our heavy hitters. We get our dough. We invest in that brand. We become an equity partner in that brand. Boom. Then I take that brand and I bring them to my summits. So I take that brand, I incubate that brand for them, incubate it and accelerate it. So I get 50 consumers that are hyper-targeted that are going to push this brand, bring it back to their ecosystems, and then boom, spread it like wildfire in their gyms, in their communities. They're going to be the first ones to have it. We did that with Kane Footwear. No one knew what Kane Footwear was before us. We got on everyone's foot in Miami in 2021. Now look at the brand. Deals with NFL. I mean, John Aguilar built a monster brand. He just brought it to us. We incubated it for him and accelerated before they launched. Then we have an ambassador program of 600 people. So the people who can't go to the summits will now, in our ambassador program, get the FOMO that they didn't go to the summit, and then we'll feed them and seed them products from the summit. Now they'll feel it, taste it, smell it, eat it, ingest it, wear it, post it on their social. So now their whole community gets it. Then we bring it through my social. So my social will pump the brand that we invested in, the summit that we went to, the ambassadors that will reshare on our systems. Now we have a place here. Now we have a brick and mortar spot. So we have brands that we sell here out of our little merch store. We have brands here that we can shoot 24/7. We could do events for all these brands. So now they have a home. So now this flywheel is constantly humming and just feeding money into HPLT. So now this brand can continue to grow. So that's how I always wanted to build this whole ecosystem of building a brand. And it's not even about me anymore. This brand is becoming bigger than me, which I always wanted. And that was always the goal. I don't want this to always be tied to me. Where if I want to have multiple summits going on multiple times, I can't be at every one of them. And that's what we're starting to do. We're building that equity now.
That's an immense insight into what it takes to build an ecosystem, all the different elements that go into establishing a brand, how you incubate and accelerate the brands. Where does all this insight come from, would you say?
Listen, if you want to become good at math, you have to do math. If you want to become a good runner, you have to run. If you want to become a good reader, like my 6-year-old son, he's got to read. If you want to invest, you have to invest. So there's no right time. So the insight was me of just practicing and failing and learning and trying and having mentors, Jason Karp, Kurt Seidensichter, like all these massive players in the space. I just pick their brains whenever I get the opportunities when I'm around them. And you learn, you listen, you read. My dad is always sending me Wall Street Journal or New York Times articles, like always reading in the mornings when I'm up, you know, just trying to figure it out. Also seeing brands that have failed and analyzing them and doing my own studies on them. That. Like, you know, my wife doesn't think I do any of this stuff, right? She's always like, you're always just working out and running around. And I'm like, you have no clue. Like, I'm up at 4 a.m. and I'm doing my thing and I'm scouring and reading and researching and figuring things out. I love that process of building. I love building. Like, when we built this facility down here, I was here every single day. I love building. I just love being part of the nitty-gritty of how things are built, why things are working, why things aren't working. I'm always asking questions. I'm always asking why. Someone says, we can't do that. Why can't we do that? Is there what is the reason why we can't do something? I think people have to ask that question about everything. But why is a supplement work? Or why isn't supplement not work? Why? Like, get more into the details of it. So I think the insights, and I'm not the smartest person in the room. I state that all the time. I'm not a smart guy at all. But I listen and I read and I watch everything to see how I can do things a little better, how I can always ante up in life. So I just think it's attention to detail, paying close attention to things, watching everything. You got to just look at it that way.
I think that's part of what has, as a consumer of the content, right? And a fan of the brand, and I've met you a couple of times either through attending a group workout class or something like that, and also thinking about decisions that I've made in terms of I want to purchase this product, and I became aware of this product because Brian Mazza, to some degree or another. Even other creators and brands, Eric Hinman, also had the pleasure of having him on the podcast. He's coming on again.
Oh, he's great. Pleasure. Yeah, he's my homie. So me and him, like, work together on a lot of things. So a lot of people don't fully understand that. Eric and I were like the first guys, and, you know, we feed each other a ton of deals. You know, hey, bro, I can't take this deal. You want to take it? Hey, let's work on this together. You know, he's a big, big supporter of HPLT. He has a great summit business called the Founders Club or whatever. So, you know, he's unbelievable.
He's, in my opinion, shout out to Eric, he's like just a class act.
He's great.
As far as they go. And in terms of where you see the content creation space going next, you outlined at the beginning, or I outlined at the beginning, what it was like when no one was doing the things that you were doing. How do you see the space evolving now as a creator?
The space is really crowded, right? But you could say any space is crowded, right? Someone's like, you're opening a gym, dude, it's so saturated. And I'm like, tell me a space that isn't saturated, right? Like, everything is saturated in this world. We just get fed content 24/7, so everything is saturated. I think the consumer's getting really smart, right? But the consumer wants to attach themselves to something that's meaningful. And the World Fitness Summit or something, or the World Fitness, something went on recently. I just got a whole pamphlet on it. I was reading on it. And there's a lot of points in there that the Global Fitness Summit, there's a lot of points in there that touch on how the consumer is really attaching itself not only to something meaningful, but they want to start being in circles that make them feel like they're a pro athlete or an elite person or high performer, sure. Right? So I think in my space, the content creation space, we have to do a better job of creators of really giving the consumers inside look of what we do every single day that allows us to live a life that we want to live. And if your consumers can attach themselves to that, you'll be successful. Everyone is pushing a product. We're all pushing products 24/7. I take all of the products I push. Like, for instance, people are like, there's no way you take Ketone IQ. And I'm like, you'll see it in my fridge here. We have like 700 boxes of it. We can't keep them in stock here at our gym. I'm their number one producer at Ketone IQ. So I love the product. I think it's an unbelievable product. And you have to let the consumer know that this is really what you take, what you do. Because they'll sniff it out if you don't do it. Like Caldera Labs, another group we work with, face serum and all that stuff. Like, I love that routine with Caldera Labs. And I have seen a difference with my skin. And my consumers and my followers can see that and they buy into it now. So content creation has to be really truthful. You have to let people know. Another thing that a lot of content creators don't do is they only show their wins. I show everything. I show a lot of my losses. I show my struggles. I show the things I'm passionate about. when I was talking about what was going on in the Middle East, I got behind Israel and I stood by it. And a lot of people came at me and said, if I see you in the city, I'm going to fucking kill you and all this stuff. And how dare you support them? And I firmly believe and I stand with Israel. And I don't care to say that. Like, that's just who I am as a person. I'm not going to change. So I think content creators need to be truthful about who they are as a person.
On that note, I'm former Israeli military, so, like, that hits so many levels. Like, I appreciate
for
that
sure very much. And I'm not Jewish, right?
Like, no, I know. That's what's even great. Italian.
I'm Italian. My sister married an Israeli, but that wasn't even, and I spoke to them about this. I'm like, I'm not saying this because of you guys. I'm saying this because I believe it.
Yeah.
Like, we cannot support those people, 100%. What they did. There's no ifs, ands about, like, if you want to cease fire, return all the hostages. That's the message that should be out there. Not just ceasefire. It's return all the hostages, and then we could talk. So I firmly believe that. And I don't care if this offends people. Sorry, but that's just who I am as a person.
I think everyone knows where I stand on this. And like I said, quality human. Another couple things that you touched on over there. When it comes to building a brand and content creation in general. I was talking to Dan Churchill about this, and one of the questions I posed to him, I'll pose to you, is how do you identify that effective synergy between the personal brand and the brand itself? You kind of outline, make sure you're actually using it, but I think something that Dan veered off on and made a point of is that is now the right time to go and work with that partner. How, in your experience, say someone's breaking into the personal branding space, they want to make money, maybe the brand doesn't want to work with that person. I know you've had a few experiences where, and I'll let you share, I'll kind of pose a question. How have you gone about working with brands that maybe didn't want to work with you at first?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, it's very similar to restaurants and very similar to just the growth path of being human and working, right? So, like in the restaurant, when you first open one, you want it to be the hottest ticket in town, right? You're kind of reserved. You don't let everybody in. You figure it out, right? And I had all those restaurants, right? We had to be super tight and exclusive and all of that. But when you're first starting to build a brand, you kind of have to like dabble with some things that you might not want to do to get experience, to get your name out there, and for people to see that you're working with other brands, right? And anyone who's a content creator or anyone who does Instagram and stuff, how it really works with agencies and how people get a lot of brand deals is your name gets on lists. And I don't know if a lot of people know this or ever talk about this, but your name gets on lists and agencies pick it up. So you get like tiered. You get ranked by like tiers, and that usually dictates some of your marketing money and all of that, right? So I'll get pitched all the time from, you know, if it's a brand, but an agency is working with that brand. And then there's some brands that do it themselves. So it all depends, right? Some brands will be like, hey, this is from agency X, and say that, hey, there's a six-figure deal, but you can't work with this person or work with that group or this and that. And you can't kind of take that deal where I'm at now because I don't want to be that exclusive with a lot of these companies because down the line, you just never know what's going to happen. But when you're first starting out, you kind of have to date a little bit around to see what brands are going to work with you and see where you're going to fit in. But I think you just have to get your reps and you just have to get your reps to see if you really want to do this, if you see if people are going to purchase a product, if you see if you're going to mesh, if you're going to be able to hit the deliverables, if you're going to be able to produce the content that's expected of you. It's not just as easy as signing a deal and working with a brand and moving on. Like, you have a lot of deliverables. You have a lot of responsibility. Yeah. You're getting paid some decent money to do that. Maybe not in the beginning. I remember, like, in the beginning, I was getting, like, $500 a post, you know? And now it's pretty wild what goes on. So you just have to play it cool, I guess, in a little bit of that sense and research it and see who you want to work with, who you don't want to work with. But Dan is right. Is it the right time? I like to now kind of forecast what's going on in my life. And I'm just in a different situation than a lot of creators too, right? A lot of creators might just be singular in that sense and might just do Instagram. But like I said, we have that flywheel going on. So I'm like, oh, wow, if I work with this brand in November and I have a summit coming up in January – and I need to fill that category, that brand has to work with me now at my summit. because I can't work with this protein company for a year, but if they're not going to dance with me at my summit, I can't work with them. So it kind of, you know, can work in my favor or not sometimes. But that's why I really work with the founders. I don't really work with the marketing director or whatever. I work with the founder on that because they have to see the bigger picture of what we're doing. So it's a little different for me. And I just built my business that way. It's not right or wrong. But for the younger creators, I think you just have to see and go out there and see who's going to give you a shot. Who's going to give you an opportunity? And it's not going to be a lot of money up front. But it shouldn't be a lot of money up front if you don't have the stats to back it up. Right? So it's just like anything. You're not going to come out of college and get a $3 million job if you don't have the experience. Mm. So then you have to kind of compare it like that. If you're a new creator and you have 4,000 followers, but they're really engaged followers, you're not going to get paid a lot of money, but that's okay. Prove to this brand that you can produce for them, work an affiliate with them as well so you can make some extra money on that, maybe take a little bit less on a retainer if they're going to even give you that, get a higher affiliate, and just start cranking out and having your consumers do that. And then I guarantee you they'll give you a larger contract.
That's some actionable insight. And hearing from a brand builder, a marketer, an operator in this type of creator economy, how we can navigate effectively and insightfully, it's definitely valuable for people to learn. As you were outlining when I posed the question, the trend of audience building, personal brand building, it's a thing. You get opportunities like, you walking know, down
back
the street.
To the affiliate thing, some of my affiliate codes produce so much capital that I don't even have to take some retainers with, because they're purchasing the product so much. So you have to get to that level of your consumer constantly, again, wanting to do what you do and wanting to utilize that product.
I think I remember hearing a story that you had shared in one content piece about how you would make content for the brand before actually working with the
brand. Yeah, it's another great tool for people who are creating content, right? And I talk about that with my staff now because, you know, my whole pitch was when I opened this facility too was, no one in this space can do what I could do for anyone who wants to work here or build their brand. If you want to come work for me and you want to build your brand, no one can do what I could do for them in the gym space. That's just the truth. And I say that confidently because we work with so many brands and we incubate and accelerate so many brands. So if you want to come in here and start working with some brands and learn how to do it, I'll show you how to do it, right? There's enough money to go around. I'm not nervous about that. So I think in the beginning, I would say, okay, I want to work with maybe a car company, or I want to work with, I don't know, a certain supplement brand. I would buy it. I'd shoot it. I'd incorporate it in my day-to-day, incorporate it in my stories, show that I can produce really good content for them that's going to be contagious for people to want to really get involved in. And then you tag them a little bit here and there. You show them that you use the product. And then if it's a product you really love, that brand is going to see that. And they're always scouring the internet and seeing who tags them and the data, and they're pulling data from you. So I would always do that all the time. I would just shoot the content of something I wanted to wear. I'd go buy it, you know. And there was times in the beginning where I didn't have any money. I'd keep the tag on something if it was a piece of clothes, you know, and shoot it. And then next thing you know, they're like, hey, we want to do a deal. So I highly encourage creators to do that. If you want to work with a ski erg or an assault bike or something like that, shoot on it. Shoot tons of content on it. You never know. You might get a free one, or you might get paid to make ads for them.
Let's talk about HPLT. There's an awesome story from a content piece that you posted that invigorated me in ways that I can't even begin to express. So I ran the 4x4x48 Goggins Challenge. I actually found out about Goggins through you. And I added 2 miles at the end, and I actually did 50 miles in 48 hours. And I raised over $15,000 towards curing Alzheimer's through research in memory of my grandmother. And both my grandmothers, actually. And I attribute that effort to another thing that you've done, running 50 miles straight.
Yep.
When you take those like parallel experiences, how I've been motivated by you, how you inspire individuals on a daily basis through fitness, through food, through content, you shared this story in building HPLT about how you had just, I think, left the Ainsworth, and you were going to start HPLT, forgive me if I'm mixing up a couple of the details, and you had this idea after reading Goggins' book to pitch Goggins to come be a keynote at your first retreat. I'd love for you to elaborate.
Yeah, we didn't have a company then. It was really funny. So we were in Miami on our baby moon for our baby Luke, who was going to be born. And I already left the hospitality world. But again, remember I was saying to you that like I was able to pivot. Like I didn't skip a second. All right. So left the hospitality world, but still had my personal brand cranking. So it was like, fine. But my wife's like, what are you going to do like with your life, really? Like, you're just going to shoot content all the time? And I was like, no, I'm not just going to do that. But I have to, it's got to be right. And I have to figure it out. So I'm reading David Goggins' book. And if anyone knows, like, what I used to do in the hospitality world, like, we threw mega events. And we did it really, really well. You know, created Sunday Fun Day. We did all these awesome things. Like, we were the pioneers of that. So as reading this book, I'm like, you know what? You know, I was training with Rob Pennell every day. Still one of my best friends. Training here on Wednesday. I'm, like, so pumped for it. So I'm, like, reading it, training with him all the time. And just missing, like, that. And he was bringing, like, that camaraderie for me back to being an athlete again. I was training at Tone House a lot, too. So I was, like, in that mix. And I was like, you know what? I want to throw a fitness event. Let me just throw one. Let me figure it out. I'm sure I can maybe build a business off this. And if it doesn't work, I could probably make some good capital, like, really quickly to help me sort everything out. So I'm reading the book. And this is when you can, like, kind of get in touch with him and them and his crew. So I DM him, get in touch with him, right? Gets right back to me at that moment. And he's like, reach out to Jennifer, his fiance at the time, I think, or they're married, whatever. And I was like, oh, wow, if I'm going to get in touch with her, I need to, like, figure this out. I need to build a deck. I need to build a company. Or I need to build, like, a fake deck and a fake company really quickly so I can at least get an answer. So doing all this on the beach, not talking to my wife about it because, you know, she was not really happy with me trying to figure all this out. Anyway, long story short, I reach out to one of my graphic designers. They put a deck together for me really quickly because I have all these photos of content I've shot. I created the company High Performance Lifestyle Training on the beach, right? Try to get the trademark. We got it. Like, did all that process, that started that process on the beach. Get in touch with Jennifer. Send her the deck. Give her this pitch that, hey, you know, I used to own all these restaurants. We're going to do this mega event in New York City. I want to have David be the keynote. We're going to have workouts during the day. We're going to have seminars. But we just need him for an hour and a 10K run. So she's like, okay, it's $50,000 at the time. So I was like, fuck it. Like, I only know when I'm in uncomfortable situations is when I really thrive and really grow. So I just committed to myself. You know, I have a tattoo on my arm that says, he who believes in himself will always prosper. And no one ever believes in me. No one ever does. And I love that no one ever does. Because I only can believe in myself because I only tell myself the truth in the mirror every single day. And I know that if I'm going to put my mind to something, I'm going to build it and it's going to be great. Look at this facility here. We are cranking. But everyone's like, why are you going to do a gym? Like, you're not going to be able to do a gym. Okay, just, I'm going to be able to do a gym. So let me do it. I did it in 40 days. So, like, I knew if I was going to build this company, HBLT, have David Goggins as my first keynote speaker, the company is going to take off. But I had to take a gamble on that. So I wired him the $25,000 without my wife knowing. And she found out, and the baby moon wasn't great after that.
Wow.
But I had to do it. And I had to, like, do it despite her wanting to kill me because I knew that this is what's needed to get done. And we sold the event out. We had 500 people when he spoke. We had 30 people for the three-day summit. And I just had to do it. Like, you have to go with your gut sometimes. Your gut is never going to lie to you. Everything else is going to lie to you, but your gut. You're going to know that feeling. And it fired me up because I was like, no one's going to believe I can do this. And that's fine. I don't need anybody. I always tell my wife this too and everyone else around me. Like, I don't really care what you think about me. Or I don't really care that you don't believe in what I'm going to do. I don't need anyone to do that. I just need me. And if I just have me, I'm going to be successful at what I want to do. And that's the mentality I had when I built HBLT. I was just like, let's just fucking go do it.
We talked about your mindset a bit. And I think that story is a prime example of what it means to bet on yourself.
You have to.
How do you maintain a level head in those moments?
You know, you have to be a little bit unrealistic about certain things. But if you truly know who you are as a person, I think you could do anything. Like, you did that hard challenge. You were able to do it. I ran 50 miles. I was able to do it, right? I just... I'm not an ultra runner. You know, I'm a little bit too big to be an ultra runner. But I just said, if I'm going to train for this, I'll do 250 miles that month, then I can do it. And I ran 7 hours and 25 minutes.
Crazy.
So, and it raised $81,000, right, for IVF. So you just have to always believe. I was always a confident kid growing up. I always had confidence. Some would say it's cocky or arrogant. I don't. I just say it's confident because I believe in myself. I love myself. There's only one of me, and that's it. And there's only one time you're on this earth. So why not try to love yourself and put yourself in the best space to possibly win as you can? That's how I just operate.
So I mentioned I found out about Goggins through you.
Yep.
Read his book. And then I trained for something that I came up with called the 1,000 Pull-Up Challenge. And I ended up doing 1,018 pull-ups in 4 hours.
How are your lats?
My lats, are honestly, they were great. My forearms. And
all from gripping.
Oh, my God. Like, my arm, like, wouldn't even bend at one point. And I was ready. I was training a bit unconventionally. I was doing, like, rope climbs. I was doing, like, sprints and then doing a bunch of pull-ups and then, you know, sprinting back, doing more pull-ups. So just, like, super high volume, figuring out ways to tire out my mind and body. And reading Goggins' second book while training for that, you just feel not inferior, but just, like, you're not doing enough because the volume's so high. And in moments like that where I think back to my training and I think back to how I found out about Goggins through your content, through that bet that you took on yourself to do something on the beach, like, that's just one testimonial.
Sure.
That I can look you in the eye and say, there's been over $30,000 that have been raised as a result of what I've done, but that's because of how you've inspired me.
Cool.
And paying that forward, seeing how the creator, you know, we've talked about how you see what it takes to build a brand, how the creator landscape's going to evolve, and your journey in getting to this stage and the peeling back the curtain to see what it's like to run HPLT Ventures and the mindset that it takes. What's next?
I don't know what's next. I just know we have a lot more to do here with what we're trying to do. I mentioned you something that we can't talk about, but that's brewing, which is super cool. But yeah, I just want to keep growing. I want to keep helping, inspiring. You know, we have a younger staff here too, so I want to keep building them up and seeing them be successful and help them grow into something they want to be and want to do. And, you know, we talk about this at the club all the time. You know, nothing's forever, right? Especially with your staff. So I always say to them too, like, wherever you go after this, it's my job as the owner of this facility for you guys to be sharper as human beings. So when you leave and go to another gym, or if you leave and go on another path of your life, I would have done my job if you didn't sharpen your tools here. And I really believe that. I think that comes with maturity as a business owner, as a man, as a person. So what's next for me is to continue expanding, investing in these brands, you know, having some really big wins, hopefully really soon, which looks like are going to happen, which is great. Maybe build more of these out. You know, since we opened this, we've had a ton of interest in neighboring states and cities for us to open these in hotels and stuff like that. So I don't know where that's going to go. That kind of freaks me out a little bit. But again, uncomfortable, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, what's next for me is just trying to continue to be a better father, right, outside of work. My boys are starting to play a lot of sports, so I want to really guide them to be as sharp as human beings as they possibly can, be respectful, be thoughtful, and just be in love with themselves and happy human beings. That's what's most important. That's what's next really for me, is to continue watching them grow. But business will do what we do. We incubate, accelerate, we train, we have fun. Another piece of advice I want to give everyone, it's like, if you're not happy every morning waking up to do your craft, it's probably not the right craft for you. It's weird. I cannot wait to go to bed tonight just to wake up at 4 a.m. I can't wait. Like, I love waking up. You'll talk to some of my, like, you know, Todd and I are always talking 4 a.m, like, business ideas, ripping to each other. Some of my employees are like, you know, my director of experience, Melissa, unbelievable human being, an unbelievable employee and teammate. She's up at 4:30 texting me before I'm texting her.
Wow.
So that's the culture that we've built. Now, some people might say that's not healthy, but these people love doing that. Yeah. This is what they love to do. So it's not like we're intruding on or anything. They're texting me, right? And I love it. So what's next for me is continuing to build this community of people that are like-minded, that want to support each other, that are not competitive with each other. There's so much trash out there between gym owners and influencers and all this stuff. Like, there's so much money to go around. Everyone needs to relax. So what's next is just continuing to build and have fun. I want to be around great people and have fun. That is it.
What can you share with the audience about BioMe and the next HBLT retreat?
Oh, cool. Yeah, so my wife and her co-founder, Shannon Race, created a brand called BioMe with Kurt Seidensichter, the previous at Vital Proteins. That's a prebiotic and postbiotic fiber digestive wellness brand on fire right now. It's super cool. A lot of people don't know about fiber. I'm pretty sure 95% of people don't take enough fiber. It's a longevity drug. It's so important for your health and wellness and your overall well-being. So they've really cornered that market and made fiber cool. And that's the key, right? When you're trying to build a brand or create a CPG product, you got to find where it's missing, build something that could be sustainable and have longevity and something that's cool, great packaging, clean product, and they've nailed that. So that's, I'm very proud of them, and I help them do their thing a little bit here and there. HPLT, you know, we got our 13th summit coming up, which is wild.
Congrats
to me. Thank you. So we have Nashville coming up, and then 14 is Charleston, and then 15 is New York City in June with 10,000, and then 16 is back in Austin, and then we're going to launch a women's summit with a lot of big players. That's really cool in the space. So we'll probably be at 20 summits, mid-25, and probably a couple more gyms, we'll see, and some other cool products that we're building. So everything is just, you know, I take it day by day. I really love what I do. I love being a dad, love being with the team here. I have a great partner, Vinny Maselli, who owns Body Blueprint, who's in this building upstairs, so I have great support from him. And I think if we continue to produce a product that people can feel like it's theirs, we'll always win. So whether it's with our venture brand or the physical space here or summits or the ambassadors or marketing or whatever we're doing, as long as people can attach themselves to the brand and feel like it's part of their life and theirs, we will have a very long runway.
What mission are you on?
What mission? What mission am I on? I'm on a mission to continue to be happy, personally. And I feel like a lot of people aren't on that mission. I think a lot of people are chasing other things that they think are going to make them happy. So I'm on a mission of just trying to work on myself and to be a happy person within. And if I can continue to do that, I feel like I'm a better person to everybody. I'm not chasing things anymore that I thought would make me happy. So I'm on that mission of just trying to stick to my guns, stick to who I am as a person, stick to my character, how I was raised. And that mission for me is just internal happiness. Because I feel like there's so many people that unfortunately aren't internally happy, and it shows in their day-to-day life. So that's my main mission, is just to be internally happy, which then entails I could be a better person to my family, my kids, my businesses, my coworkers, my friends.
So if someone's struggling with their mission right now, what direction would you point them in?
Well, first and foremost, if they're struggling with something in their mission or their business or their health or wellness, you know, and this is not a shameless plug, but, you know, nothing changes if nothing changes, right? So you're probably doing something in your life that is hindering you from taking those positive steps forward. Something has to change. Something has to be tweaked. Something has to be tailored. And I feel once you can do that and change something up, a routine or who you hang around, maybe where even where you work, who you're married to, maybe some family members are toxic in your life. If you're not changing the environment or changing something going on, you're going to be stuck doing the same thing or stuck with the same feeling or stuck with the same result. So my advice there would be, like, start to tweak the things in front of you that you know already holding you back. And that could be eliminating a friend, which might be hard to do, but might be the best thing for you.
When you look at everything that you've accomplished over, I guess in my view, since I've known about the Brian Mazza brand since B-Maz Fit.
Yeah, that was the OG. That was going to be that. Thank God it wasn't.
What does it mean to you?
That's an awesome question. It puts a smile on my face, right, of just the effort that we've put in. But I'm a worker, so I don't really look at the effort like that. It's just something I do. But for me, it's like hearing from you saying that you've been looking at my content since 2016. That's a long time that I haven't bored you or annoyed you, or maybe you found someone else, you know, whatever, in that world. I get messages all the time from people, you know, that, hey, I've been following your stuff and I'll tell a quick story. I was going to Spain this summer, and right before I got on the flight to go to Spain, I received a DM. Hey, dude, I don't know where you're staying in Spain, but I'm in Ibiza. I have one of the best hospitality companies. I'd love to take care of you and your family.
Wow.
So normally you get a DM like that, you'd be like, okay, I don't know this person, like, chill. But I'm reading it. Then I get on DM, you can get like a FaceTime. So this guy FaceTimes me, and I pick it up right before I go on my plane. So I'm like, who is this guy? And he's like, hey, dude, what's up? You know, my name's Javier. Like I said, I have the best hospitality. If you want to come to Ibiza, I'll set up your trip. So I show my wife, I research the guy, research his places. I'm like, oh, it's legit. So me and him start messaging. And then I'm like, you know what? I just went with my gut. We're going to change our trip with our family, and we're going to head to Ibiza. He set it up lovely for us. But he was like, when he met me at one of his beach clubs, he had the Nothing Changes If Nothing Changes shorts on. And he was like, you've changed my brother's life. You helped him lose weight. You helped him get motivated again. This is someone who relocated to Spain and lives there now and runs like unbelievable properties. But to me, that is just like, okay, my brand has impacted his family.
Global
in Spain. And now we're like super tight with each other and our families. But going all the way overseas, going to Spain, having my trip totally changed with my family and having one of the best trips we've ever had in our lives just because we've made an impact on him and his brother in a positive way. So stuff like that is great. Or, you know, when some of the coworkers here come up to me and they're like, thank you for showing me a different way of doing things, or thank you so much for opening this gym. It really means a lot. Like, I feel at home. I haven't been happier. I missed that when I had the restaurants, right? I loved hearing that from staff. Now I can do it here. So for me, it's just like, I don't know. I'm living a dream. I'm really happy with what's going on. And as long as I'm happy, I'm going to continue to do it.
Brian, I've had an awesome time hanging out with you here today. It's a question that I pose to all my guests, and now I'm going to pose to you. If the future version of yourself from 10 years from now, assuming he's in that ideal spot, were to fly in and offer you some advice in order to get there, what do you think he would say to you?
10 years from now?
Yeah.
Is that flame still under your ass every morning? And if it is, keep going. And I think that's for everybody, right? It's like, that's the piece of advice. As long as that flame is still hot and pushing you in ways and directions that you want to go, keep doing it. There's no limit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Brian Mazza, please let the audience know where they can keep up with your journey.
You can come to Pelham and train with us here at our performance club. Check me online. Instagram's probably the best way, through DM, or just come into one of our summits. You know, our summits are great. They sell out pretty quickly. It's super fun. So yeah, just you'll find us somewhere. We'll be in the city probably near you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in once again. My name is Jonathan Cohen, and this is Inside the Inspired.